Welcome to 10 Bestest,
where we sift through the noise so you don't have to.
Each week we share our 10 favorite things of the moment.
Anything goes.
Hello and welcome to 10 Bestest. I'm Karen McFarlane Holman.
And I'm Brian Hart.
And guess what? We are already to episode 199.
199.
You know what that means. Brian's giving
it's
me a
one
blank
before
stay.
200?
Yes, you got it right.
Oh, I got it.
You
right.
Win the prize.
What did I win?
Your prize is you get to listen to one of our reviews.
Oh, good.
From one of our amazing listeners.
It's one of my favorite things to do.
It is. So this one is from a few months ago, and it's from Hombre Fatty, who says,
I love that name.
I know,
already.
Isn't that great? And this is Fatty
P-H-A-T-Y. Oh, of course. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Who says, this is a fantastic show. Brian and Karen are interesting, interested, generous, and delightful. Oh, I'm blushing. Those adjectives work for the show as well. I rank the show up there with any other podcast. Well worth subscribing to.
Whoa. So I thought they were talking about the podcast the whole time. So first they were talking about us. And then the pug.
Yes.
Whoa. Whoa.
I know.
Hombre Fatty.
Yeah.
Thanks.
So if you're enjoying 10 Bestest, please leave us a review.
Yeah, it does
really
help.
It helps us out.
And we'll give you a shout out on the air.
Indeed.
So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So thanks again, Hombre Fatty. And I get to go first this time. And my very first cool sheet, I'm going to be talking about a food and a company. And I'm a little bit surprised that I went this direction because this is really almost you could consider it sort of a fast food, but it's not a fast food restaurant. This is a type of food that you buy prepackaged and you microwave it. But I thought about it and I realized, because I ate one recently, I realized that I've been eating these for years and it's called Tasty Bite. And Tasty Bite, the company, if you go to their website, you begin to appreciate them even more. So they make vegetarian, ethnic foods, and most of them have an Indian slant to them. And they are out there to vegetarian, and a lot of them are vegan also, but to also educate you. So if you go to their lovely website, they tell you about who they are and what they're doing, but also what they stand for. And one of the things that they stand for, that they have been on their website making Modern Slavery Act statements ever since, it's 2016, 2017, something. So they haven't just jumped on the 2020 bandwagon or anything like that. They are really trying to keep things sustainable. They have a whole section about sustainability and how they're trying to help humans as well as make food. Most of it is organic. It's not all organic, but it is mostly organic. And then they try to also teach you about all the foods that they use, the flavors. And so when you go in, they have a whole list and it's like, read about chickpeas or read about this type of lentils or read about cardamom or whatever, the things that they use. And I love it because it's 60 seconds and I got some really yummy food and I love their company and what they stand for and everything they do. Tasty Bite.
Tasty Bites. I like the name too. It's kind of a cool little name.
Yes. And it singular. Tasty Bite.
Tasty Bite. Okay,
because
just one bite.
If you go to Tasty Bites, plural, then
different.
You can, buy it. You can like auction it. It's up for auction.
The website. You meant maybe the food. I was like, what? Like you buy the food and then auction it on the other side? Gotcha.
So if you want to.
Tasty Bite.
Go, Tasty Bite.
Which we will have on the show notes, I'm guessing.
Indeed.
The exact website.
Indeed. And they've been around 25 years. So they've been doing it, and they keep it simple. They don't have that many, so they're
cool.
Not trying to do everything.
Yeah,
they're
that's
just
a good
focusing
idea.
On their organic, yummy Indian food.
Well, gosh, I've never heard of them somehow.
Wow!
So I can't wait to check it out. I did a a cool sheet. I think it's called Maya Kamal, maybe. I forget the last name. It's Maya something. Mm-hmm. When Mickey was a guest host. And they do the same thing, kind of prepared Indian slanted food. And it was also, I love it. So now
I've
got to check
that
out this
too.
One.
That is really good.
Yeah. So I can't wait to try this other one because a lot of people, I try to eat whole foods and make it from scratch.
And you make it,
But it's not realistic every time. I'm not going to lie on air here and say that that happens all the time. Sometimes you just need to make something quick. And yeah, you don't want to go to a fast food restaurant that's just gross. I mean, delicious, but gross. Bad for you.
Right.
So I try to avoid those at all costs. So it's nice to have something like that in your back pocket.
And all their meals are, you microwave them for 60 seconds or 90 seconds. Oh, and also you don't have to microwave. I have plenty of friends who don't own a microwave.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So you can boil them. You can take them camping. They have a section of like, oh, take us on your hike and all that too. So it's versatile and quick and yummy.
Awesome. I love it.
So the show notes will be 10bestest.com/tasty.
Tasty. I like it because I want to go look it up.
Yeah.
But I'll wait until after the show, at least.
Okay.
And I'm going to start with my first cool sheet. And this is a movie. And this movie just came out at time of recording. It's called Inside. And it's by Bo Burnham. And it was on Netflix. It's a Netflix exclusive. And I heard a lot about this. So it came out. Time of recording about 3-4 weeks ago, and it was just blowing up. Everybody was talking about it, and it was on my radar, and then I kind of forgot about it, and then I was like, oh, you know what? I want to watch this, and I did, and oh my gosh, it is better than I thought it would be. So it was filmed in 2020. Bo Burnham filmed it, directed it, wrote it, performed in it. He's the only person in it, so it's very COVID related. It was while he was locked down in his home and kind of going crazy and decided to make a movie, and it's so good. So it's got tons of social commentary. It's also just bizarre. It touches on mental health and social justice and white privilege and all kinds of really relevant things. Of course, the pandemic, critically and fan received very highly, 8.8 on IMDb, 97 on Rotten Tomatoes by the critics, 94 by fans, 98 on Metacritic. I've never seen a show that high all across those three platforms, but very deservingly so. So it's this mix of like sketch, you know, only it's a one person show, but these kind of sketches of and songs of his daily life indoors and his kind of, like I said, deteriorating mental health as he's going through this. Some of the songs include Content, FaceTime with My Mom Tonight, How the World Works, White Woman's Instagram, Unpaid Intern, Bezos 1 and Bezos 2, Problematic, Welcome to the Internet. So many. It's I can't say enough good things about it, but I also don't want to give too much away. I think you should just check it out. Enjoy the ride. Inside.
Okay, I've got to watch this because you are the third person that's told me about it, this week.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah, I heard about it a lot too. And then, like I said, I kind of forgot about it. And then I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, yeah, the pandemic, I lived it too. And, you know, all this. Mm-hmm. I don't want it. And then I was just like, oh, yeah, this is going to be good multiple times too. I think if you watch it more than once, it would have different effects on you, on your mood, and depending where you are. Looking back, it'll be a nice little time capsule of this weird phenomenon that we went through. So yeah, and a terrible incident. I don't want to act like it's just minimize it there. But yes, definitely check it out.
Oh, so I'm excited. Ooh, thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right, my next cool sheet. I'm going to be talking about a website, and this is called Greater Good Magazine. And this is out of University of California, Berkeley, and they do all sorts of amazing stuff. So what they do is they take scientific research and they bring in all of these science-based insights for a meaningful life is what their mission is essentially. So They are all about bringing in stories, bringing in tips for people, bringing in tools that you can use, all of this to be happier yourself and also to cultivate a more compassionate society. So they have just tons of stuff on their website. I actually don't know if they do any kind of hard copy of the magazine. As far as I know, it's all virtual, but they've got lots of articles. So you can, that's actually how I originally found them. I was looking for something else, found them through an article, and I was like, whoa, look at all this stuff that they have. They've got videos that are doing teachings. They have quizzes. So you can go in and say, oh, I'm feeling like, you know, maybe I'm in a transition in my life and I want to find my purpose to maybe find a new career or something. They have a quiz for that. They have something where you can assess, why or do I feel happy at work or how can I change my work and a bunch of other stuff and checking your emotional intelligence and things like that. They have a podcast, of course, as many people do, and then all these different keys to better, just living a better life, essentially. So they started in 2001 and they are delving into the science behind things. So they always back everything up with science, which I like, and I know you like, Brian, but all of it feeds into this idea of how can we all be better as much as we want to be. So it's awesome. Tons of stuff here. Greater Good Magazine.
Oh, very cool. That sounds, yeah, right up my alley for sure. I can't wait to check it out.
Yes.
Have you listened to the podcast yet, or have you just heard the digital stuff or read the digital?
Yep. So I listened to the podcast, but only one episode.
Mm-hmm. But pretty good too.
So yeah, and it was interesting because I don't know yet how they usually do it, but they had put a question out just to everybody, anybody, and said, they asked a question and then they said, yeah, send us your answers. And someone sent an answer they liked, so they invited her on the podcast.
Oh, wow.
So in theory, like anyone could be on the podcast, it sounds like.
Wow, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait to check it out. It reminds me of kind of something I'm going to talk about on the next show.
Ooh,
but
okay.
Similar but different. Uh-huh. So that's very cool. And
excellent.
I can't wait to now check out this one because, sounds like a lot of the things that I like. Especially the science part and making yourself a better person.
Yes.
Sounds cool to me.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
All right. My next cool sheet is, this one really tripped me out. If you want to trip out without drugs, check out this audio phenomenon called the McGurk Effect. I can't even remember where I found this because it was somewhere down the rabbit hole when I was actually researching another cool sheet. I think it was when I was talking about maybe the Royal Ocean Film Society, one of their videos, I think. And it was one of those really cool, like just, oh, you know, but that's the McGurkin effect. And if you want to hear all about that, just Google it and you'll trip out. And I was like, oh, yeah, so I'm going to go do that now when I should be taking notes for the show. And I checked it out. So this effect is a perceptual phenomenon that demonstrates an interaction between hearing and vision in speech perception. The illusion occurs when auditory component of one sound is paired with the visual component of another sound, leading to the perception of a third sound. So just by that definition, it's starting to kind of trip me out while I'm reading it. And I even know what they're talking about just because I've seen it. So the best thing to do is to go to our show notes and check out the YouTube video because it's really hard to describe just over podcast form. So the visual information a person gets from seeing a person speaks changes the way they hear the sound. So it has this guy and he's like going ba, 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 ba. And then he changes the position of his mouth and then it sounds like he's going va, va with a V. So first a B, then a V, but it is the exact same recording. He's actually just dubbing different positions of his mouth, and it sounds, your mind, even when you know that it's the same and you're looking for it, it sounds different. It's so freaky. Check out the McGurk Effect.
That is a trip.
Yeah.
I'm just, okay, I'm going to have to just watch it because I'm like, yeah. My brain is like trying to process what is happening.
And that's the crazy, like the guy that's in most of the YouTube videos is this one specialist, you know, that's been studying this for years. And he's like, I've been doing this for 20 years and it still tricks my brain. And I know exactly all the science, you know, he gets deep into it, what's going on. And he's like, and it doesn't matter. I see it and it changes the sound in my head, even though I know for a fact it's my own voice doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
that's
a
like
rip.
Same with optical illusions. Like you're looking at something and you know that it's not what it looks like, but you're just like,
yeah, it's so wild. It was so cool. I mean, talk about going down the rabbit hole. I went deep on that one. And just on one thing, I was going deeper and deeper. And it was like crazy. Like you start to doubt. And this is interesting too, that I think it's more effective of people that have had brain damage, like they could be more influenced, which is also kind of scary because I was very influenced by it. I was like, wait, I don't think that's a test. Don't worry. Or maybe it is. Who knows?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was wild. It's super cool.
Yeah, I'm excited.
I love that kind of stuff.
I'm going to watch that. Well, who knows? I'm going to say that's the first thing I'm going to watch when we're done. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, you've only done.
That's right. Because I have my next one I really want you to watch.
Ooh, okay. All right. Well, my next cool sheet. Okay. This is what I was looking for when I was digging around and then I found my previous cool sheet, the Greater Good website. Okay. What I was looking for was forgiveness. Okay. Why was I looking up things about forgiveness? Because I heard about this fascinating brain research that was done on different ways of thinking. And then they had people in MRIs. So they were doing brain scans while they were doing things like meditating. And so they actually got monks, there's a lot of different studies that have monks in MRIs, and they're meditating and they're contemplating different things. They scan their brains. Okay. But there was a woman who was not a monk at all and wasn't really a meditator or anything. And they were scanning her brain and they saw her go into a state that was identical to a monk who was like deep in meditation. And they were so intrigued and they talked to her and they were like, what were you thinking about? And she was like, I was trying to, and it was part of the study, but I was trying to forgive this person in my life who was just a complete jerk. That wasn't the word she used. But anyway, she was practicing deep, deep forgiveness. And that then spurred a bunch of studies that have shown that forgiveness can be even more powerful than gratitude. And so I've delved into these articles of forgiveness. I'll post a couple of them in here of how practicing forgiveness is so good for your health. Like people live longer and they are healthier and all of these things, aspects to it. That's actually pretty recent research. That's pretty new. So I was so interested in that. And I just thought it was amazing because I hear so much about gratitude, not as much about forgiveness. So this was really eye-opening to me. Forgiveness.
Whoa. Okay. My mind's blown again. Because that sounds super fascinating.
Yeah.
You do hear tons about gratitude and how good that is for your health and for everything.
Yeah. And I'm not saying ditch gratitude.
Oh, yeah.
But
for sure.
This whole idea.
But this is just really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never thought about it too much.
Right.
You know, I've always tried to live my life very forgiving and not holding grudges and things like that. But knowing that that kind of study is having such promising results is even cooler. It makes me want to practice it even more.
There's a saying that I've heard I just love that is about holding grudges. Holding a grudge is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die.
Oh, wow.
And that is, the more I read about the research, that's essentially it. You are just creating a cesspool of illness in yourself.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
So cool. Wow. I can't wait to, I'm definitely, maybe not right when we get done, but I'm definitely going to check
that
one out.
Yeah, and these are all articles that I'm posting, so
very cool.
Down and read.
Can't wait. Thank you so much. That's a good one.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. My next cool sheet is a TV show. I'm doing a lot of consuming visually here, but that's okay. This one is worth it too. Oh my gosh. We watched the first episode of Loki together. I don't know if you've seen the rest of it. And it's weird because there's been now three Marvel TV shows, but then this is the third one, and they've all been good. But this one, by far my favorite. None of them have been cool sheets yet. And I don't actually single out too many Marvel or comic book movies in general at all, really. I don't think. I've done Mandalorian, just Star Wars, and some other things. But anyway, Loki for sure has been my favorite Marvel TV show so far. So at time of recording, it was episode 4 of 6, and it was really good, like the best Marvels I've seen since Endgame. Super fascinating. It's really hard to talk about without giving spoilers. I will say that there are slight spoilers ahead. If you haven't been caught up to Endgame, it's going to be a spoiler. So you might want to skip ahead another minute. But at the end, during Endgame, Loki, they go back in time. And Loki's there, and they try to steal the Tesseract, and it gets Hulk bumps Iron Man in disguise, and Loki picks it up and is like, "Ooh, what's this?" And like whoosh, teleports into a different time and place. And so that's where this TV show picks up. The second that happened, of where he goes, he gets busted by the TVA, the Time Variance Authority, because they are the keepers of time. And so it's the story of what's happening. And then he has to catch other Lokis, and that's about where I'll stop. Whew. But that's just the beginning. The show is so good. I highly recommend it. If you're a Marvel fan, and I know that you would need a Disney Plus subscription, that's how they get you. But it is worth it. It is going to be a big influence on a lot of the films, I know for sure. In fact, Kevin Feige said that it'll be the biggest influence of other films for the rest of the Phase 4, I think they're in. Anyway, check out Loki.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, that whole bumbling scene of the Tesseract just makes me laugh, even just thinking about it. He's like, Anyway, awesome. Yeah, I've still only seen episode 1, but I definitely want to see it. I told my kids about it, so.
Yeah, there's going to be, I'm guessing, a lot of spoilers because there's some big, big reveals on this episode 4. And I heard, so 4 and 5 are supposed to be just mind-blowing, and 4 lived up to it for sure. And then, and then it wraps up. So there's not much to go, but it's really good. And by the time this actually comes out, it might be over or on the last episode. If you haven't seen it yet, you could just binge it.
I was going to say, all ready for binge watching.
Yeah. And that's actually might be like, I was like, oh my gosh, I want to watch the next episode. And I have to wait a week. We're not used to that.
I know. What is this waiting thing?
Waiting. The waiting is making a comeback. mixed feelings about it.
Awesome. Well, my next cool sheet is also something to watch. And this is a movie that came out in 2013. And I did watch it when it first came out, but I just watched it again recently. And it is called Sound City. So this is directed by Dave Grohl of Nirvana and Foo Fighters. So right there, you're like, okay, Sound City, all right, some kind of documentary, whatever, which it is. But it is so much deeper than, first off, what you might think when you first start watching it. And he admits in the end, you know what, I meant to make this movie about this one thing and it ended up being something else. So it's all about this board, this recording board that is in the time, in the 70s. It was built by a Brit engineer, and it was $70,000, which cost more than a house at that time. And so he built this recording board, and there were only maybe 5 of them. And someone in LA, actually Van Nuys in the Valley near LA, bought it and was like, okay, I'm going to start recording bands and I'm going to make money doing this. And it started out really, really slow, but they started getting people like Fleetwood Mac in there. And so it goes through the story of like really, really famous people. people and this historical marching through of bands that everybody knows. So if you know anything about music, you will connect with all of these bands. But there's also really cool stories with all of the people and the connections. So it's a beautiful story there. And so even though the focus was on the board, it was really about people. And it was also about going from analog to digital when that happened, and about the humanness of creativity and what is happening now with digital or what happened then, and then, and all of these people coming together. And it goes beyond that. It's so well done. I just loved it. And so, like I said, if you enjoy music at all, there's a lot there for anyone. Beatles come in, Johnny Cash comes in. It's really great. Sound City.
Oh, wow. So I thought I've seen it, but then the more you talked about it, I'm like, oh, I'm thinking about a different movie. I haven't seen this one yet, so I cannot wait because I know I will love it. So was it directed by David
Grohl? By Dave Grohl. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so cool. So he is such an interesting person for me because for some reason wanted to dislike him forever. I don't know why. I don't even know why. I think it was because I loved Nirvana. Of course, mm-hmm. I was a child of the 90s is like when music really hit me. I mean, mm-hmm. I already liked classic rock, but 90s was when I was in high school and it was really my formative years for music. And so I was such a big Nirvana fan. And then when we lost Kurt, I kind of like resented Dave Grohl for wanting, you know, forming the Foo Fighters. I'm like, who are you? Like, you were just one of the other guys. You weren't Kurt. And I don't know. But that all to be said that, like, he won me over so much.
Oh,
because
yeah.
He is so generous and talented, and the way he treats fans and the other projects he does, like everything about him is just so, you cannot not like
no.
him.
No. Oh, and you will like him even more.
Even more.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow, yes. That's so cool because talk about forgiveness or grudges or whatever, like, and totally unfounded, but I just always had this thing where I was like, ah, who's this guy? And so it's cool because now I do like him a lot and more all the time. So
yeah,
now I'm going to see this and like him even more. I can't wait to check it out.
I want to hang out with him. I want to hang out with all those people.
Oh, like, gosh.
Oh,
yeah, to
man.
Just be that keyboard or that soundboard or a fly on the wall or something. And
actually, I want to jam with them.
Well,
I wanna,
yeah, that too. I just want to. I'm not the jammer yet. Still working on that part.
Anyway.
Well, that's so cool. Thank you so much. So now, do you know, is that easily streamable? Is it on a service? Or?
I watched it on Amazon Prime.
Okay, so can watch it there.
Yeah, so currently, as we're recording this, I didn't find it on Netflix or Hulu,
but it was on there. Prime.
But okay. It's worth checking the other ones because, you know, things come and go.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can always do a former Cool Sheet Just Watch to check out and see what streaming platform it's on. So that's cool. I can't wait. I'm going to check it out.
Yes, do.
Right after this show.
Sure.
Got my list of five to do tonight. Oh, maybe edit the show. Okay. My next cool sheet is another TikToker. You know, I've been having this little, my favorite TikTokers. And this one is Tony Baker. So this is a very different way that I was introduced to Tony Baker. I actually had to do a little bit of digging, and this is actually a thing with TikTok right now and the world forever, is that a lot of Black creators are not getting credited for what they do. Big surprise, this is happening on TikTok as well. So either his video would get reposted on another account, and it's his exact clip, and they aren't claiming that it's theirs, but that clip would get 2 million views, 5 million views, and then his original clip, the same clip, would get 20,000 or something. That is a problem that definitely needs to be addressed, and when you're looking at TikTok, make sure you dig a little deeper and you find out where that source material is coming from, even if it's a duet, which is a thing on TikTok, or just a reposting or a reaction, whatever. And when I found him, I was so glad that I did because he's so hilarious. He's a Chicago native stand-up comedian and actor. is what he does. So he is a professional comedian, but what he's kind of gotten really famous for way before even TikTok was doing these, what he calls legendary viral voiceover videos. And my favorites are, and they are legendary, is he voices over animals usually. So it's funny. It's not his original clip. So he's taking clips of animals doing crazy things and then talking for them. And the way he does it, it's so funny. Like, he's just one of those guys that always is hilarious to me. And it's just, he does this series with sheep where they're like ramming people and being real jerks, but he's talking for them. He's like, you think you're tough, huh? Cram! And he always says cram when they headbutt people. And just check him out, because he does deserve all the fame and fortune and glory of originating these. Tony Baker.
Darn it. When you said I have a new favorite TikToker, I thought you were going to say me.
Well, you are becoming a little sensation.
My one video.
More than one, but one that has kind of
made
gone
it
viral.
To a million.
That's a big deal.
But the rest are down. 1,000 maybe.
That's still pretty cool.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No, this sounds great. And what is up with that? Like, what?
Yeah. Not surprising, but it's still frustrating for sure.
Yeah.
And frustrating that it still happens, but I am glad. There's actually a bunch of Black creators are kind of boycotting, or I don't know what the right, they're kind of going on TikTok strike right now, which is good, you know, because even more attention is getting put onto this, that look, content is being stolen or repurposed and then taken away. So I do appreciate that. I kind of touched on this a couple cool sheets ago. I love, you know, fan edits, and I like rehashing material, but you need to know where it's coming from. You need to give those people those original source. Yeah. You need to give them credit and give them, you know, just your respect and attention and know where it comes from. And then you can do your own thing. Because I do like that. I like reusing creative content and making it your own or different. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
But.
So it's Tony Baker.
Tony Baker's this person. And it'll be on the show notes for sure.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. I will take a look. I am going on TikTok a little bit more. So,
and I've been the opposite. I've actually been kind of not banning myself from TikTok, but I've just been really busy the last couple
back.
Weeks
and I just
haven't had time, because that's kind of my time filler escapism and I haven't even had time to escape. So, but when I do, I see Tony Baker.
All right.
Original.
Look for Tony. My last cool sheet, I am going to be talking about something scientific, and this is something that I have been bringing up in my classroom for, I don't know, probably 7 years or so. And this is a global temperature animation. It is at the NASA website at climate.nasa.gov, and it's in their vital signs section, which I think they renamed it vital signs, because that's so powerful to use that terminology, because usually when, you know, check your vitals, it means something's wrong, and it means you have to monitor the body to make sure that they're okay. And that is exactly what we need to do with this planet. So they have various vital signs, and the one that is the most powerful, and this would take you maybe a minute to look at. So it is worth a minute of your time to look at this, because visuals say so much. And what it is it is the Earth. And so you see this picture of the Earth, and then it shows different colors representing whether or not in different areas of the Earth, so you see different regions, if it's a little bit above the average temperature or a little bit below. And so it blue, if it's a little bit cooler, and then it gets more and more red. And there's a little scroll bar where it starts at the year 1880. And it goes through the current day. And all you have to do is slide that slider across, and you will see you cannot deny anything by looking at this. It's there. And even if you do believe that there is something happening with the temperature globally, it's also a powerful way to see, okay, how much is happening, where on the planet is it happening, and all of that. So no matter who you are or what you think, it is something you can learn from very quickly, visually, and powerfully. This is the global temperature animation.
awesome and kind of sad and scary and super relevant and important. Mm-hmm. All of those things. That sounds like, I remember there was a documentary and it, the name is slipping my mind right this second, but the filmmaker,
An Inconvenient Truth. No, I'm just kidding.
The filmmaker did like essentially time lapse in the Arctic and things like that over the years and just watching it go down and change. And it wasn't seasonal. This was through a decade or something.
Yeah.
Years. And just, it was like, well, you can't argue with, I mean, if they say seeing is believing, then this is it, you know, or seeing it. And that's when it really hits home, even for someone that's always believed in that kind of stuff and science and global warming. And but to see it, it's just like knife in the heart almost.
Yeah.
It is a vital signs that we need to pay attention to. So, wow. I'll check that out.
Yeah, no, do.
It is worth it, but yeah.
For sure. I purposely put this one at the end because I knew it was a little bit of a downer, but it's also reality check.
Yeah, right.
We can't stick our heads in the sand.
Yeah, we've talked about that for sure. So that is, it's super relevant. So I do appreciate that. All right, my last cool sheet is going to be a little bit lighter, a little bit. This is an article. It's called The Rise and Fall of Saturday Morning Cartoons. So the great part of it is the nostalgia of Saturday morning cartoons. Definitely a big part of my life. It's funny, as I recall it in my memory, I feel like, oh, you know, I don't think I watched that many Saturday morning cartoons, but I have a feeling if I asked my mom, she would say the opposite, that I was there every Saturday watching cartoons. But this kind of catalogs the entire span of Saturday morning cartoons and how they got really huge in the 50s and 60s, kind of with the advent of color television. And I think it says that the networks just figured out that they could make a lot of money by keeping these kids engaged and watching TV and then eventually selling them products. Especially, that's where they actually got in trouble. But, you know, it doesn't really talk about this, but I think that, you know, parents kind of liked it too, because they could kind of be like, you know, go watch TV, kids, while mom and dad sleep in or do whatever. So it didn't really talk about that, but it goes about the history of how it started. The first one was Crusader Rabbit, which I've never heard of, but I didn't know this, that Rocky and Bullwinkle was like the second cartoon for kids in existence. It's wild. But it wasn't until 59, until the Flintstones, that really like broke free. And that actually, I think, started as a prime time, but then it went into the mornings. But then people started getting really concerned because kids were watching it for longer and longer. They averaged, you know, 3 hours of television every Saturday, and it was freaking people out. And then, of course, because corporations were making money, so then it got really toy specific. In fact, they started shows because they wanted to sell toys. So instead of it going from a show and then selling merchandise, it was like, how can we sell more merchandise? Let's make a show about this. So it became a big problem. And actually, and then also the invention of, you know, VCRs and video game consoles and things like that, that also kind of caused, so regulation and people getting super concerned, and also other outlets for children to do, kind of became the fall of it in the 90s. Super interesting article, The Rise and Fall of Saturday Morning Cartoons.
Oh, Mighty Isis and Shazam and Land of the Lost.
Super Friends. I mean, all my favorite ones.
Yeah.
And then it goes into the ones that kind of came the products, which is like G.I. Joe, My Little Pony,
Transformers. You know what? That's a trip.
Care Bears, which are actually the ones that that's more like my age bracket. And I love those. And it said, kids loved them. Parents, not as much.
Totally product placement.
Oh, yeah. And the kids couldn't distinguish the commercials from the show because they did such a good job of intertwining them all.
Oh.
And it was like really freaking out. People and parents and scientists were like studying it, and it was wild. Super fascinating article, though.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting.
Very interesting. Okay. Wow. Well, somehow we are to the end of this show. How did that happen?
I don't know, but you know what's next? The big one next week.
The 200.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And don't forget to check out our show notes. Those are at 10bestest.com/tasty. And don't forget to stay curious. Want to learn more about this week's cool sheets?
Head on over to 10bestus, that's 10bestus.com, for links to all of our cool sheets.
And sign up for our monthly newsletter with bonus cool sheets and other fun stuff.
10 Bestus will be back with an all-new episode next Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern.